Daryl is invented. What Daryl describes is not. It is happening across east of England right now. This is their story. In Epping Forest, construction workers cannot access training while housing targets go unmet and levy funding sits unused in the Treasury accounts. The skills, the need, and the capacity all exist in the same place at the same time, separated only by a political choice dressed as a financial constraint.
I've always been good with my hands. My dad taught me to use tools before I could properly hold them, back when he was still doing carpentry work around Loughton. He'd take me to job sites on weekends, show me how wood fits together, how you read the grain, how a building grows from the ground up. That's what I wanted to do with my life, build things that last. I left college in 2020 with a BTEC in construction, ready to start. The timing couldn't have been worse. I spent the next 3 years doing warehouse shifts, living with my mum, watching new housing developments sprout up all around Epping Forest. Every morning I'd see the vans heading to those sites. Workers bust in from places like Basildon and Dartford. An hour each way, I kept thinking, I live right here. I've got the qualifications. Why am I stacking shelves while houses get built by people who have to travel twice as far as I would? In early 2023, I finally got my chance. Essex County Council launched their apprenticeship scheme, and construction was right there on the list. I filled out every form, wrote a proper application letter, even got a reference from my old college tutor. 2 weeks later, they sent me a standard reply. The construction program was oversubscribed. They suggested I consider retail or care work instead. I wasn't giving up. I contacted Harlow College directly about their bricklaying course. The woman on the phone was polite but firm. The funding has been reallocated to priority areas, she said. We're not running construction courses this year. When I asked which areas were considered priority, she couldn't tell me. That's decided at a higher level. The Job Centre Plus office in Loughton was my next stop. The advisor looked up construction training on her system, clicked through several screens, then shook her head. Construction Industry Training Board funding is unavailable for this region, she said. Have you considered logistics? There's always warehouse work. I told her I'd been doing warehouse work for 3 years. I wanted to build houses, not stack boxes. She printed me a list of cleaning jobs and said to check back next month. 3 weeks later, I was walking past Harlow College on my way to another pointless job interview. The construction workshop faces the street. Big window so you can see the workbenches and the equipment inside. I stopped and stared. Every bench was empty. The tools sat in their cases, unused. The bricklaying bay looked like it hadn't been touched in months. I recognised one of the tutors from when I'd done my BTEC. Dave something. I waited by the entrance until he came out for a smoke break. Dave, I said, I applied for your bricklaying course and they told me there was no funding. But those workshops look empty. He looked uncomfortable. We've got 12 unfilled places, he said, same as last year. The facilities are there, the tutors are there, but we can't access the CITB levy money. It's sitting in Treasury accounts, but they won't release it for this region. He took a long drag. Makes no sense to me either, mate. That same week I went to a job fair in Hartford, hoping to find something, anything in construction. That's where I met Lenny. He was 26, lived in Stevenage, had been trying to get onto an electrician's course for 2 years. Same story. Courses cancelled, funding unavailable, training centres standing empty. We started comparing notes. Everywhere across the east, it was the same pattern. People who wanted to learn trades, colleges with empty workshops, officials saying there was no money.
There is no funding, they kept saying. Every official, every administrator, every advisor. It sounded reasonable at first. Everyone knows money is tight. Everyone accepts that hard choices have to be made. I accepted it too, initially. But then I started seeing the contradictions. The housing developments kept going up, built by workers from outside the area. The college workshops sat empty, while they claimed courses were oversubscribed. The CITB levy money existed. Dave had confirmed that, but somehow it couldn't be accessed to train the people who lived right here, who wanted to do exactly this work. I began to understand something I hadn't grasped before. When they said there is no funding, what they really meant was that someone, somewhere, had decided not to connect the funding to the people who needed it. The money existed, the people existed, the training facilities existed, the need existed. You could see it in every planning application, every housing target that wasn't being met, every workforce bus bringing people from 50 miles away to build houses for people who lived 10 miles away. The government that issues the pound had chosen not to spend the pounds that would connect people like me to the work that needed doing. That wasn't an accounting problem, that was a political decision. I'm still here, still watching, still doing warehouse shifts while construction sites multiply around Epping Forest. But I see it differently now. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. This isn't just my story. It's the story of every place where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. They just chose to keep it locked.
What Daryl experienced has a name: cherry picking. This technique selects rare examples where something failed to justify never trying it again. It's like avoiding all restaurants because you once had food poisoning, or never driving because cars sometimes crash. The exceptional case becomes the universal rule. In construction training, officials cherry-picked failed housing projects to justify cutting investment everywhere. Other councils tried building housing and it failed, they said, ignoring the overwhelming evidence of success. Vienna built 400,000 council homes and became the world's most livable city. Singapore houses 80% of its population in public developments. Every major UK city built council housing successfully at scale until 1980. The question is what conditions make it work, not whether it has ever failed somewhere. This cherry-picking enabled the household budget myth. By focusing only on failures, officials could treat government spending as inherently risky, like a household gambling its mortgage money. But the UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resource, people, skills, materials, time. In Daryl's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. 12 unfilled training places, workers travelling from 50 miles away, CITB levy money locked in treasury accounts. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Epping Forest ranks 402 out of 543 English constituencies on the English Indices of Deprivation 2025 from MHCLG. The constituency has 4,190 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received were £43.6 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.